welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. On this special episode of Chitty Chat, we have got writer, author, Mike Barron with us. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good to hear, man. Well, you're on here for this episode. You've got some something to promote, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But go ahead and tell all my listeners a little bit about yourself, like how you got into comic books and you basically a comic book origin story.
I always wanted to be a writer ever since I was a little kid. When I got out of college, I heard that there were newspapers in Boston that would hire anybody who could write. So I went there and I stayed with a friend. But before I approached the newspaper, I answered an ad in the Boston Phoenix for volunteers to live on a hospital ward for 1 month and smoke government marijuana and take a battery of tests.
Nice. Okay.
So I did that. It was just like college. And when I got out, I wrote that up, and that's how I broke into journalism. But I wanted to do comics, and I made a few early efforts, one with Larry Gonick. But it wasn't until I moved back to Madison, I met Steve Rude, that we really took off. I looked at his art, and he wanted to tell comics but didn't know how to write. So we hooked up, and we were in the right place at the right time. It happened that Capital City Distribution, which at the time was the second largest comic book distributor in the world, wanted to publish their own line. So I dreamed up the first 12 pages of Nexus. And when I wrote those days, I would sketch the whole comic out on a piece of paper like Archie Goodwin would do or Chuck Dixon. I'm not a bad artist. I'm not a good artist. I'm good enough to that people can see what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I gave that to the dude, and he illustrated it, and we showed it to the guys at Capital Comics, and they said yes, and we were off and running. They published three oversized black and white issues initially, the first three issues of Nexus, and then they went to color, and they published six issues in color before they realized they didn't know what they were doing, and a cobbler should stick to his last, as Uncle Scrooge used to say. So they sold the titles to First Comics, and then we began an epic run at First, which went over like 80 issues. And now there are well over 100 issues of Nexus. After First went under, Dark Horse took over the titles.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Richardson returned the copyright and trademark to Steve and I, which is an unprecedented act of generosity. I don't think it's ever been repeated ever.
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
No. I created Badger a couple months later. I said, I'll strike when the iron is hot. And I approached my friend Jeff Butler about illustrating it. And he wanted to do a story about a druid wizard. So he did this 8-page story of a druid wizard. And we took that in. And he said, we don't want a druid wizard. We want a costume superhero.
Naturally, because 80s.
And yeah. I asked myself, well, why would anybody put on a costume and fight crime? They'd have to be crazy. And that was the inspiration for the Badger, who's a multiple personality.
Oh, nice.
And also the fact that everything in Madison is named Badger, Badger Liquors, Badger Bar, Badger Pub. But Jeff didn't want to throw out those druid pages. He says, no, these are too good. We can't throw them out. So I said, all right, we'll just work them into the story somehow. And that's where Ham the Weather Wizard came from.
Oh, perfect. That's awesome. Yeah, like Nexus and Badger, when I was looking up some of your credentials, I saw that you worked for DC and Marvel, obviously Dark Horse. I have some of your Flash comics, just single issues, in my pile. Never even realized, never knew. But I had heard of Nexus and Badger, but I've never actually read them. So, like, you would talk about Badger there being, druid, wizard, well, parts of that. Could you tell us a little bit more about both of those titles and both of those characters?
Well, Nexus is the cosmic Avenger who lives 500 years in the future, and he suffers terrible dreams of mass murderers. And when he wakes, he's compelled to seek out that mass murderer and kill him, or else the dreams will keep coming back at him until they kill him. The source of the dreams is an insane alien, which isn't revealed until issue 19, I think, of the issue. But there's this character called the Merc who lives in the center of the planet that Nexus colonized. And quite arbitrarily, he chose Nexus as the conscience of his race, as if an alien would have any understanding of human psychology. He doesn't. He's insane.
Yeah.
But the people he fingers are all legitimate mass murderers. So that's Nexus' mission, is to knock off mass murderers. But as the series continued, we found ourselves involved in a huge world-building experiment, and it just grew and grew. And the cast of characters grew and grew, and until it became a fully-fledged civilization, a fully-fledged story with all sorts of secondary characters who were fascinating in and of themselves, some of whom got their own comic books. But it always returned to Nexus and his mission to execute mass murderers. His power is called fusion casting. That's pretty much anything he wants to do. It's telekinesis powered by his son that's channeled through the Merc, from the Merc, who's the insane alien, to Nexus. And when you see in the very first issue, it illustrates how it works. And in many subsequent issues, we expanded on his power. But it's not the power that makes the comic compelling. It's the story itself. I know how to grab readers by the throat. And Nexus is a compelling character. And the stories are not all grim. There's a great deal of humor in them, too. Even the darkest story must have a dash of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Even Schindler's List has a few jokes.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I've never knew what the book was about, and you've definitely grabbed my interest. I'm going to go find some issues or even a collection somewhere.
Well, Joe, you send me your address later, and I'll send you a couple issues.
I mean, we could totally do that.
All right. A Badger is a multiple personality, only one of whom is a costume crime fighter. And that costume crime fighter has an unusual ability to understand animals and communicate with them. That's his only superpower. But he's an accomplished martial artist. And this was inspired by The Minds of Billy Milligan, which is one of the first serious books about multiple personalities. When I read that book, I was fascinated how at one point Billy Milligan took on the persona of a Russian mob enforcer. And Billy Milligan was a slight man in his 20s. And it described how he would overpower bigger men because he believed he was this character. There was no doubt whatsoever. And wherever he picked up the technique, watching a TV or show or a movie or something, it worked for him. But Badger trains very hard. His own martial arts ability comes from training. And we try to incorporate martial arts in the comic, and we try to show it in a realistic and dynamic manner. And that's one of the hallmarks of the Badger comic, is that you don't just see the Hulk swinging a fist and four pairs of shoes flying off panel. Mm-hmm. You see the technique unfold in real time in a linear manner, like you would in a really good kung fu movie.
Yeah.
I insist that the artist hold his camera steady and let the figures do the moving. But that's just a minor part of the story. There's a great deal of humor in Badger, too, especially the stories where he interacts with animals. In fact, most of the Badger stories are funny. But the serious ones are really grim. We did a series called The Shattered Mirror. Jill Thompson was the artist, and it went into background of how he became a multiple personality. And multiple personalities are always the result of severe childhood abuse and trauma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That's heavy. That's awesome. I like it. I really like it. So, like I said at the beginning, you're here to promote a new book that you have on Indiegogo right now, called The Florida Man.
Go ahead and
pimp that one out, please.
Gary Duba's having a bad day. There's a snake in his toilet, a rabid raccoon in the yard, and his girl Crystal's in jail for getting naked at a Waffle Hut and licking the manager.
That's not normal?
Not in Florida. So Gary sets off with his best friend Floyd to sell his prize Barry Bonds rookie card to raise the $500 needed for bail. But things get out of hand. Now, this was inspired by the Florida Man stories, and I'm sure you've seen them.
I've seen a handful of them.
They're hard to avoid. When I say, have you heard of Florida Man? Somebody says, no, what's that? I mean, I'm astonished, because the only reason I did this story was because Florida Man kept coming at me. Every time I went on the internet or went to a news site, it was Florida Man this, Florida Man that. Florida Man promises to kill his neighbors with kindness. Florida Man Florida Man has a machete named Kindness.
Yep.
Florida Man claims syringe found in rectum is not his. Florida Man arrested for sneaking into the panda enclosure at the zoo to have sex with panda.
I think I remember that one.
Florida Man arrested for defecating on traffic from light pole.
I do remember that one.
Yeah. And, you know, they take the Florida Man challenges. You just put in your birthday and write Florida Man, and you'll see the stories that pop up. And it isn't just one. It's often five or six stories. Mm-hmm. There are so many Florida Man stories by now. So I try to encapsulate the spirit of Florida Man in one guy, Gary Duba. But it's not... It's not condescending. It's not sneering at the rubes at all. In many ways, Gary is the most admirable character in the book. He's got a good heart. He's just got a hair trigger temper, and he makes bad decisions. And he's got a girlfriend named Crystal, and she's got a hair trigger temper too, and she makes bad decisions too. So I wrote that up. It was going to be a comic initially, but when I finished the five scripts, I realized I had a detailed outline for a novel. So I wrote the novel, and my publisher snapped it up. And because of the success of the novel, we're now back to doing the comic book. But the comic is different from the novel. It's like a snake eating itself.
Okay.
In that sense, you know, I mean, the comic gave birth to the novel, and now the novel is giving birth to the comic. But I'll tell you this, that I guarantee you that if you read this comic, you'll burst out loud laughing.
Good.
And we have a mission statement. Let me just put that up here, because I think it's kind of important. We want to entertain you, and we believe in providing solid, professional, funny comic books for everyone who loves comics. If you like humor, you're going to enjoy this. We want to make you laugh and inspire you to share that enjoyment with others. If we can make that happen, we've accomplished our mission. Help us bring back funny books, y'all. And if you look at if you click on the Indiegogo link, there's a trailer. It's like a 30-second trailer. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet. I did check out the Indiegogo.
You got to watch the trailer. The trailer is brilliant.
Good. Okay.
And it kind of gives you a look. It kind of tells you what you can look forward to. It's going to be a 64-page graphic novel, and it's filled with most outrageous stuff imaginable.
Good.
But always tasteful.
I did see that this was volume one. Are you planning on writing more or putting more out in comics, or is this first volume based off of everything in the book? I'm assuming it's not.
Some of it's in the book, but some of it is fresh. There's a lot in there that isn't in the book. And if it's a success, we're going to do another one, because I have a lot of Florida Man stories to tell. It all depends on how people react to the main protagonist, Gary Duba. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to react favorably, because Gary's a lovable guy, you know, and you're going to care about him. You're going to want to know what happens next. That's the essential question in all fiction, is what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
And the reader has to care. He's got to want to turn that page. And believe me, the readers are going to want to turn the page.
Yeah, from what you've already said, I want to turn that page. So just out of curiosity, why did you choose Indiegogo over Kickstarter? I know Indiegogo, I've done most of my stuff on Kickstarter, or I've backed a lot of things on Kickstarter. Indiegogo was one where I've only backed a handful of things. I never really understood the appeal to that one versus Kickstarter, because I know they're both crowdfunding. So what made you choose one over the other?
Well, I can barely operate this computer. It's a miracle I can see you now. So these decisions are way beyond me.
Okay.
Chris Brawley is running this campaign. Chris is a terrific human being. He's one of the guys behind Bleeding Fool. And he chose Indiegogo.
Okay. I think that's really about all I have to ask. I will have the link up on the show notes, and I'll be posting it on my Instagram and Twitter from now until the end of the campaign. I think at the time of this recording drops, you'll be at around 37 to 38 days left, give or take. So you're just over a month. I think you're about halfway to your goal, which is good job. Congratulations.
It should have funded instantly, but we have a couple of things working against us. And one is it's not a superhero.
And here's the funny thing. You see my stuff behind me. That's mainly all DC. But over the last 10 years, I still like DC, sure. But I've been going more to the indie market anyway. Like, I love Lock and Key. Walking Dead. Like, it's just the indie comic scene for myself, a longtime comic fan, has grown. And I've enjoyed the indie comic a lot more. So seeing this, just a Florida man, just some random, not random, but a comedy based comic book. It has me intrigued. So,
and it's really funny. It's not cheap jokes. I mean, it is really funny. When I say that, I mean, I guarantee you're going to laugh out loud. Yeah. My goal, whenever I tell a story, is to grab the reader by the throat, to make him care. And well, how do you do that? Well, there are many elements to a story. You can do it with the plot. You can do it with the character. You can do it with dialogue. You can do it with a scene. You can do it with an idea. And we use everything in that. And the humor arises out of the situations. There's no puns. There's no jokes per se. There's one outrageous situation after another.
Okay. Awesome. I love it. I love it. So, Mike, where could everybody follow you or find the campaign at? Just, why don't you go ahead and
I've been posting about it repeatedly on my Twitter page. Folks, please join me on Twitter at Bloody Red Baron. At Bloody Red Baron. There is a Florida Man comic page on Facebook. You can tell it by the artwork, which is immediately identifiable.
Yes, it is.
I also have a Mike Baron author page on Facebook, and I would love for people to join me. I have my own website. It's called bloodyredbaron.com. where I talk about comics and novels and writing, a lot there about writing. I have a YouTube channel, Ann and Mike Baron, and I talk a lot about writing there.
Okay. I'll make sure to put all that in the show notes and in the Twitter posts and stuff when I start tweeting this stuff out. Mike, thank you for coming on. Thanks for reaching out.
Thanks, Joe.
Yes, this was awesome. We'll see you guys later.
All right.
Thank you again to Mike for coming on to the show and, you know, throwing out his Indiegogo. I don't know if you guys know this, but that was my first ever really interview with a writer. I think I did a pretty good job. I don't know. But no, seriously, in all seriousness, the Florida Man book looks wonderful. I have backed it. Also, I think when we were talking in the episode or in the interview, I'd said it was about 50%-ish. It has since been fully funded, so Mike's dream is becoming a reality. So yeah, go check that out. The link will be in the show notes. And like Mike said, you know, on Twitter, he's at Bloody Red Baron. He's got YouTube, and Mike Baron. And his website is bloodyredbaron.com. All those will also be in the show notes. That's that. The rest of this episode will be me catching up on some reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, because I'm way behind on saying, you know, reading those reviews. So let's get to it here. So the first one, the title is excellent, 5 stars, from Hello and No. They gave me this rate, the review, back in March, so shows you how long it's been since I've been on this. Anyway, the review is, love the show, always keeps me interested, and always look forward to new episodes. Can't recommend it enough. And that's from Tabby from your New Best Friends podcast. And I will say, Tabby, if you're listening, thank you. Also, your New Best Friends podcast is amazing. You guys need to go check that one out. It's the best way that I can describe it is, so they're given these questions that people will write into them, her and Mike. And they just give their opinions on, or their answers to the question, which is basically their opinion. It's almost similar to Am I the Asshole on Reddit? I think it's on Reddit. I can't remember. But basically those Am I the Asshole posts, they tell you a story and then you kind of decide if they're the asshole or not. This is a similar situation. They tell a story, or they give their question, story, whatever, and then you see what Mike and Tabby, what the answers are. It's super fun. I laugh every time I listen to it. So go check them out. Your new best friends podcast on, I believe, every single major podcasting app available. And then our next review, our last review, is from the Misery Machine, and they gave us a less than 3, so, you know, a heart kind of thing. 5 stars, because they're awesome. It says, "This is a great find. We came across you on social media and thought we'd check you out." Yeah, just kidding. "We're really happy that we did. We're working from home in a smallish city in Maine where there isn't a ton to do right now as the state's basically been shut down for the time being." Obviously, this was written in April, so yeah, quarantine, all that good stuff. "So interesting and entertaining podcasts are filling that gap and keeping our spirits up. Keep up the great work. We cannot wait to listen to more." And that's from Yergi and Derby from The Misery Machine. The Misery Machine is another podcast that I am currently listening to. Like I said, we found each other mutually through social media, Instagram, I believe. And they are, I don't want to say a true crime podcast, but they are more of a, they're a mystery-esque. Like, they'll take a mystery that's going on and then they'll talk about the facts of it. Like, the latest episode was the Elisa Lam case, the girl that was found drowned in the water tank at the Cecil Hotel. Like, they gave the facts. I would love to, definitely would love to hear their paranormal take on it, but because I think there was a paranormal element that went in with that, but that's just me. So yeah, go give Misery Machine a listen as well. They're really good. They're fairly new. I think they've been around for about a year, so there's only like 50 some episodes. So quick, you can catch up on that one quick. I know New Best Friends have got a lot. I don't remember how many. They got a good amount. Both are about an hour long, give or take. But yeah, so thank you, both of you, New Best Friends and Misery Machine, for the reviews. They're really grateful. And if you guys would like to leave a review, you guys can go to iTunes and, you know, or Apple Podcast and give us 5 stars, and we'll love you forever. And give us a good review, please. So it's go do that. If you also want to get a hold of us, obviously you can find us on Twitter at Comic Book Rundown. No, at Comic Rundown. There we go. Yep. I know things, trust me. Yeah, Twitter is for that one. Instagram is Comic Book Rundown. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that at comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We currently have shirts, 2 different designs over at our store on Redbubble, redbubble.com, and just look up Comic Book Rundown. Our music was done by Joe from Wreck My Podcast. He is one half of what him and Cam are calling the Sex Turtles, or I think I actually named them the Sex Turtles. I'm not entirely sure. But the music was done by Joe, and it's amazing. I'm going to have to see if I can get him for my other thing I'm going to be doing later, we mentioned it in our last Shitty Chats. But basically it's what I'm calling a rundown review, where we are going to be reviewing. We're going to start out reviewing comic book movies, and the comic book movie that has been made we're going to review. But we're also going to be doing like the cartoon direct DVD movies, or as well as I think we're going to do like maybe some gaming, like video game movies. I haven't completed the details yet, but I know for sure we're going to be doing comic book movies. I know for sure it's going to be coming out within, I might try to get it out by the end of the year, but that may be a 2021 special. We'll see. That's, I still got to do some things in the, behind the scenes before I get that out. But yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Like I said, go check out the Florida Man on Indiegogo. You're in for a real treat. I can guarantee it. We will talk to you guys later.